morning. It is a Wednesday, third Wednesday of the month. That is Burlington Schools time on the talk show. Pat Cohen, the superintendent of the Burlington Community School District, is joining me. And, Pat, we were talking just before we went on that it seems that the farther we move forward, the more we seem to be moving backward. I don't know if that's the right way to put it or not, but things are not getting any better, are they, in terms of COVID-19?
They are not. It's the old country western song, two steps forward, one step back, Steve. But you know, the thing to remember is if health is lost, so is all else. So we need to make sure that we're protecting people's health and doing the best that we can in the situation in which we find ourselves. Danny Mater is the superintendent at Davis County Schools, and he mentioned in a meeting online, this school year we are going to be slogging through the school year. And I thought that was a pretty appropriate term. And it has nothing to do with our teachers' efforts, the family and community's efforts, and then as well as our students' efforts. It's doing the best we can in the situation that we find ourselves. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to slog through this year to the best of our ability.
All right. Now, we've got the governor making some proclamations, changing some things. You said that from a school standpoint, it directly affects youth sports, and that means anything under high school, that is, and it does affect high school as well because it affects any attendance at any high school games. But from any youth sports, that's junior high sports, they're all off the table now, right?
They are. Junior high's off the table. The proclamation also states that we will not have youth sports. So all the people that like to sign up and use our gymnasium for their little kids' basketball and wrestling and dance teams and those type of things, it's all shut down. And the other end of that spectrum, Steve, is she also said no adult recreational sports programs. So I know there's a group of people that get together and play basketball. That can't happen either. So shutting it down. And then you said it very well, the high school – each participant in the sport gets two tickets. Hypothetically, there's a JV basketball game. Only the parents of the players on that team get two tickets. They can come in, and then at the end of the JV game, they go out the west end of Johansson Gymnasium and leave, and the varsity parents come in from the east. And when you think about the gymnasium at BHS, you know, we could fit pretty easily 6,000 people in there. Right now, you count the number of people on a basketball team, say 20. 20 times 2 is 40, times the other team, 80. So that's 80 people in a 6,000-capacity gym. Social distancing shouldn't be a problem.
And she also requires that all spectators wear masks.
That is true. And that says a lot about not caring about the 6 foot, because, again, you put 80 people in a 6,000-person capacity facility, there's no reason anybody needs to be right next to each other, you know, and those type of things. But, yeah, we will do our absolute best to follow the governor's proclamation.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what else is going on in school. When we started back in the springtime when you were all online and we were talking about, and then we talked about the fact that in the fall you had an A, B, and a C plan. Well, you're kind of... you're back to the C plan, I think that is that right?
That's correct, Steve. And we knew early on that our greatest vulnerability to COVID had to do with our staff, because by the time you can only put half the kids in a classroom, thus the A B schedule, every teacher still had to come to school every day. So we could mitigate the student exposure by 50-50, which in turn reduces teacher exposure to the children, but the teachers and the staff still had to come in every day. And what led us to 100% online was staff being sick with COVID-19 and being out for the 14-day quarantine, and we weren't able to fill our classrooms with teachers.
And obviously, substitute teachers are pretty much scarce as hen's teeth, right?
They are, and I completely, for any retired teacher that's out there in radio land listening, I understand completely. You work your entire life, you do a 40-year career, and you start drawing your IPERS. Why would you want to come back and possibly get sick? You know, you're at that point in your life where you can retire, do some things that you've always wanted to do, enjoy all that hard work that you put in to get that retirement. So I understand why they wouldn't come back. And so we knew that was going to be a problem. And early on, I tried to address with the Department of Education and then the AEA system. All these schools got in a bidding war. Well, we're going to double our sub pay. That doesn't create more subs. you see what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Because if everybody doubles their pay, there's still only this many people licensed. Now, the state of Iowa said that you could use associates. You could now take somebody with, I think it was 60 credit hours. And they tried to create some ways in which to expand the sub pool. But again, if you have a pre-existing health condition or you're at the age where COVID has a higher probability of being medically debilitating or even worse, lethal, why would you?
Yeah.
It just, just doesn't make sense. You've worked your whole life. You've put in that time, draw your retirement and self-isolate and live through this thing.
All right. Now, you are at 100% online. You're back to where we were back in March. What would change or how, what has to happen to have you go back into the classroom and go back to your AB schedule?
Well, what needs to happen is the one thing that concern, not the one thing, there's many things that concern me. One of the things that concerns me the most is the medical system. You start looking at the number of beds that they have open, and people aren't going to stop having heart attacks. They're not going to stop having cancer. They're not going to stop getting pneumonia. These things are going to continue to happen. And as there's less and less hospital beds open, and your doctors and your nurse practitioners and your nurses and your medical people, they can't work 24/7, 365. You can only run a machine so hard or a social organization so hard until it starts to break. You think about it, are these people at the hospital working a 16-hour or 18 or 20-hour shift? They find a corner to lay down in and they go to sleep. They get up and do it again. You can't do that very long until something breaks.
And you get sick yourself. That's the other problem that you have, right?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You,
then you're worth nothing.
So in other words, you're going to be basically online until something significant changes, until that basically we see what? A drop in the we've got to see a drop in positivity. We've got to see a drop in hospitalizations. So all of those things have to happen before you go back to an AB. Is that right?
They do. And we have to be able to put an adult in the classrooms.
Okay. Now, as you look at the holiday season that's coming up here, I'm not sure exactly. You've got a Christmas break that's coming up, but how are you getting better? And the things you learned back in the spring, I'm guessing you've probably been able to enhance that a bit into where you are now in online teaching. Is that right?
It is. We are not, and I've stressed this with multiple people and with a school board, and then also with our staff. This is not March of 2020. March of 2020, yes, we canceled some stuff. Yes, we provided additional training. Yes, we made sure we had all the equipment. And yes, we pulled the trigger and had our people ready to go. We were ahead of the game. We have now been told, and we've completely messaged all the time, be prepared to pivot. and we pivoted. Now we're 100% online, but we now have experience and skill sets with online instruction that we didn't have before. An example, Steve, is what they call a breakout session, where you can, in a traditional classroom, a teacher can do whole group instruction, have the children get to work on the whole group instruction, and pull five children up to they call them kidney tables, and then they can teach them the core content of their lesson at that group's instructional level. And then they go back to their seats and they work and they bring up five more. Well, we had Mrs. Hesshoy, a very gifted technological person at the high school. She created videos for all of our staff, our associates, parents, and children that explains, here's how you use a breakout session in Google. So now we're able to do whole group instruction, and then the children can break into a breakout session with one of the associates who then teaches at that kid's instructional level. So we have matured and we have evolved in our ability to effectively teach online. Do we still have a long way to go? We absolutely do. But we're better than we were last year.
Okay.
And we're going to continue to explore options, new ideas, breaking news, so to speak. And we're going to continue to do the best that we can with the resources that we have within the situation that we find ourselves.
Pat, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with you. Pat Cohen is our guest, and again, we'll be taking a quick break, and we'll be back with Pat and more Burlington Schools coming up right after this.
All right, everybody.
It's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
So far, the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 have not had to cancel a single conference game. That speaks to the importance of having started in earlier September so that you had some flexibility in your schedule instead of having to panic, basically.
It's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 8 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
After owning the so-and-so shop for 28 years, we're still going strong. Hi, this is Alice. We have Viking and Singer sewing machines for sale with lessons and service after the sale. We do sewing machine repairs on most models and brands. We have the largest selection of petite fabrics in the area and long arm quilting. Store hours are 10 to 3, Monday through Friday, and some evenings by chance. What's new? Online classes at sewburlington.com. The So-and-So Shop, 3206 Division Street, Burlington, Iowa.
Care. Whether it's your business or your family's health, the more care you put in, the better it will be. United Healthcare knows the difference care can make. It's why we offer plans that support your physical and mental health. And it's why we connect you to care whenever you need it with 24/7 virtual care. Because like you, United Healthcare knows what care can do. United Healthcare. Plan benefits may vary.
It's time for an upgrade. Beneath your feet, with beautiful, durable new carpet from the Home Depot. And right now, free installation. Choose from a wide selection of styles. Order samples. Schedule a measure and installation all online. It's never been easier to have carpet you love right where you live. For new carpet and free installation, only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Free installation on carpet $4.99 or more and 99 cents or more per square foot. U.S. only.
Have something to sell? Looking for something? Have something to give away? You can now do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the KBUR online trading post. Just go to KBUR.com and click on Trading Post, or go to our KBUR Facebook page direct and join the Trading Post group and start dealing. You can post as many pictures of your items as you wish. It is still the marketplace of the air, but now all the time. The KBUR online trading post from News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Pat Cohen is the superintendent of the Burlington Community School District. And, Pat, if there's anything we can say for certain over the past 9 months or 8 or 9 months, is that The term vacation doesn't mean the same thing, does it?
Well, it shouldn't, but I'm sure it does to some people. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. It's well, let's put it this way. The term vacation in terms of jumping on a plane or going somewhere or taking
a cruise.
Yep. That's what I mean is that it's more sheltering at home rather as your vacation than anything else. And I don't know how that's going to be affecting Thanksgiving, and I'm not sure how it's going to be affecting Christmas, but you actually do have a Christmas. What is the Christmas break this year, Pat?
Sure, and Steve, and then you follow that right up with New Year's. December 22nd, we kick off our winter holiday, and then we don't come back to school until the Monday the 4th. You know, so you've got to you have Thanksgiving right now, you know, and you worry about the traditionally large. I mean, shoot, my wife is the youngest of 10 daughters. You know, and when that family gets together, there it's it could be 75 people easy. Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, you know, the traditional, everybody packed into a bar, counting down the New Year, that type of thing. It's
not going to happen.
Can't happen this year.
A lot of things haven't been able to happen this year, but that's another story. But I guess you said it correctly, or you said it very important. The most important thing is health, and that staying healthy is what obviously has to be the objective right now more than anything else. But if you do come back, I guess is there any encouragement to hey, don't go, don't fly anywhere. Be very careful. I guess what or be very responsible during this during the holiday season. That's probably the biggest thing right now.
It is. You know, wear a mask. You know, you don't need to have a mask on when you're driving in your car by yourself because you're not going to infect yourself. But, you know, just wear a mask when you're around other people, you know, going into a store, you know, those type of things. I personally, you know, walk out, forget to put one in my pocket. I have to turn around, walk back in, put one in my pocket. Or I get out of my truck and I go to walk into, let's say, Hy-Vee or Fairway. And, oh, I forgot my mask. I had to turn around and go get my mask. You know, it's just, kind of like when I was overseas. In Afghanistan, you know, we had to wear flak vests, Kevlar helmets, safety glasses, you know, all the time because you never knew when it was going to be on. And sometimes soldiers would become complacent or bravado and they, you know, wouldn't think they had to have their stuff on, you know, and as a senior officer, you'd have to chew them out and, you know, get them to get their stuff back on. This is kind of like that. We need to wear the protective equipment so that it protects us.
Now, one of the
it doesn't do us a lick of good if we don't have it on.
One of the issues that comes out with online learning, particularly for the youngest children, is that it really requires the parents to be there with the child to be able to do any online learning, and that's a challenge for an awful lot of families, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and that is why we had James Madison open up for that exact reason, you know, because you've got to give people the ability to get to work. You know, an example is, let me see here, I'm trying to find the exact right person, so I give credit where credit is due. Teresa Morris is a teacher over at Grimes Elementary School. Absolutely fantastic lady. She would, at her house, make a blanket tent. And all the kids would make blanket tents at her house. And then she would read to them. You know what I mean? And she would do reading lessons. So there are some very creative people out there that are doing things that mom and dad don't have to necessarily be hovering over the child. They could be in their own Zoom meeting. While the kid's doing it. Now, that doesn't guarantee they're not going to have to say, hey, just a minute, I got to step out of their meeting, tell their kid to, you know, quit chasing the dog around the house to get back on the computer, you know, that type of thing. But we also know that there's people that are not as gifted as Mrs. Morris, and that may require more parent involvement. And that's why an example with the breakout session, Mrs. Hessoy not only made a video for the teachers, she made a video for the associates, she made a video for the students, and she made a video for the parents. Because we know that this is additional burden on them. But, you know, you go back to the health comments.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stay as current as I can, and I look for NPR. NPR has a very low bias scale, so you can generally believe what you're reading, you know, without it trying to be political of any way, shape, or form. So I try to pay attention to NPR, and I also try to pay attention to the BBC. And I found an article that talked about the long-term health effects of COVID that are becoming clear mm-hmm. as time progresses. The example I'll use with you, Steve, is Agent Orange. In Vietnam, they sprayed that stuff everywhere and onto our own troops. And now we have these gentlemen are older, and they've got all kinds of health conditions because of what happened to them when they were a young, strapping, you know, 20-year-old soldier or Marine or airman or Navy mm-hmm. personnel. But anyway, we don't know what's going to happen with COVID, you know, but you start reading stuff, and they're talking about scarring in the lungs. They're talking about heart scarring. They're talking about GI tract issues. They're talking about long-term health, quality of life diminishment. One thing I don't ever want to do is put somebody in a position to where we can diminish their adult quality of life or even diminish their lifespan by not protecting them now. And I could be completely wrong, and everything I'm reading could be lies. But I'd rather try and be wrong than not try and be wrong.
Well, at least we do see, and there is some good news apparently on the vaccine front. There's a couple of vaccines that are being, I think, both are in review right now to be approved for emergency use. But two apparently have a very high effective rate. I guess having a vaccine. But the rollout's going to be months. If there's a downside, it's going to be months, and it's going to require at least two shots before you are actually covered. And that means then that takes a month in itself, because you got to take them a month apart. So I'm not sure exactly if you had to look in your crystal ball right now, based on what news that you have, would you say that by next year we'll be I'm not saying 2021 right away, but I'm going to say by the fall of 2021, we'll be back to normal. But if I said normal, and I mean real normal, is that possible?
Well, when you think of the in my military life, I had to be trained extensively in logistics and distribution and those type of things, in the relationship to mission planning, execution, and then sustainability. And when you think of the logistical requirements of production of enough of this for everybody on this globe, the distribution, successful distribution of this for everybody in the globe, and then the system by which you establish a pecking order by who gets it first, and then, you know, work through all that, it is absolutely mind-boggling. Now, it's necessary, and we have people that are fully capable of doing this, assemble a good COVID team, make a plan, execute your plan, and be flexible to identify flaws in your plan and improve them as you move forward, because this has to be a rolling operation. This can't be something that you go over, you know, 50 times. Once this vaccine's made, it has to be a rolling mission.
And it's got to be frozen, too. It's got to be kept frozen.
Yes. Yep. See, and that's why when we look at the schools, I talk to my principals quite frequently, and I say schools would make a great temporary hospital. schools could be, we have huge walk-in freezers. We could be a great distribution point and, inoculation point, and it's schools are paid for by taxpayers. Therefore, that investment in our community should be, able to flex to the societal need, and those type of things. So yeah, I've read all of about the vaccines, how cold they need to be. We look at our walk-in freezers. Whatever we can do to help here locally, we're going to do it. But if you stopped for a moment and not you, but hypothetically all the listeners, if you stop and think about it, this is a global logistical craziness.
Well, I'll give
but
you,
I, you look yeah, at Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
They can get a package to your house in 2 days, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And I hope that President-elect Biden is reaching out to, and I'm sure he is. Hey, Amazon. You're the expert in getting stuff to people. You have the equipment. You have the personnel. You have the know-how. I need you to step up and do this for humanity.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. I was on the RAGBRAI website, and you've just exactly what you were talking about. The rollout process is not going to be. It's going to be a gradual. It's going to take a lot longer than I think most people think, and that means. The people that are saying right now. Most of the people things I'm reading right now are saying to think that you could have a worldwide event be able to be okay, and that especially with the preparation that needs to be done ahead and the confidence that has to be there for all of the host communities, you're looking at a logistical, very, very, very difficult, if not a logistically impossible situation. So that's one of the things in the Olympics. They're also talking about the Olympics being the fact that having that roll out because of all the preliminaries that have to go into that. So it's, as I said, it's, if you're dealing with a school, you're dealing also with a lot of all the other things because you've got to be working ahead as well, right?
Correct. Yep.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, Pat. We're going to be
perfect.
Back. We're going to take a quick break for news, and then we're going to be right back with Pat Cohen. We'll talk more about what is in store for 2021 in Pat's crystal ball. Stand by.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. The Burlington Public Library has announced the suspension of some in-building services due to increased community spread of COVID-19. Other library services, such as the curbside library, reference and tech support over the phone or online, and the digital library are still available. Take-and-make kits are still available to complement the library's virtual programs and classes, and returns can be made through the outside book return accessed from the Main Street entrance. For more information, visit the Burlington Library website or follow the library on Facebook. Governor Reynolds is urging residents to follow her new partial mask mandate while claiming there is science on both sides about whether face coverings reduce the spread of the coronavirus. After months of opposition, Reynolds signed an order Monday that requires people to wear masks in indoor public places under some circumstances. She said that she changed course because the state had seen an exponential increase in the number of people hospitalized with the virus this month. She warned that without action, hospitals will be overwhelmed and people will be at risk of not being able to get medical care of any kind. Officials say that Iowa could run out of convalescent plasma, which is used as an experimental treatment for COVID-19, by December 1st. Due to the dwindling supply, officials are urging those who have recovered from the virus in Iowa to donate. Christine Hayes, Chief Operating Officer of Life Service Blood Center in Des Moines, tells Radio Iowa,
"Right now, we are anticipating at the current rate of transfusions across the state of Iowa that our supply of convalescent plasma will be depleted by December 1st. Unfortunately, this is absolutely the same case across other states in the country, so our ability to receive more convalescent plasma from patients or from other blood centers across the country will be very challenging."
According to the Mayo Clinic, convalescent plasma therapy may help people recover from COVID-19 by reducing the severity or shortening the duration of the disease. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News. I'm Lillian Wu. Widening restrictions as COVID numbers rise in the U.S.
Governors in Ohio, Maryland, and Illinois imposing restrictions on business hours and crowd sizes. Iowa, North Dakota, Utah imposing statewide mask mandates. But there is resistance, some from locally elected officials and residents, and even some local law enforcement authorities who are refusing to enforce mask requirements.
Fox's Ashley Webster. This is we get more optimistic news about a coronavirus vaccine from Pfizer, which says its candidate with BioNTech is 95% effective.
Now, the results have not been analyzed by independent experts, and only about half of its supply will go to the U.S. this year, enough for only about 12.5 million people. Americans that do get it will receive the vaccine for free.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Sunny, very breezy today. High to 58 degrees. South winds around 20, gusting to 35 miles an hour. Look for clear tonight. A low down to 47. Again, strong south winds gusting to 30 miles an hour. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm on Thursday. High of 69. But southwest winds 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Thursday night, mostly clear, 48. Partly sunny, cooler, Friday, 59. Right now, we've got a sunny, breezy conditions. It's 41.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are soaring on Wall Street this morning out of the gate. The Dow resumes its rally on some good news in several industries this morning. Boeing's 737 MAX jets are ungrounded in the U.S. After 20 months of fixes and testing, two of those jets, which were almost brand new, had crashed outside of the U.S., killing almost 350 people last year. Two major retailers out with earnings. Target crushed expectations while Lowe's came up short. The COVID-19 vaccine being tested by Pfizer and partner BioNTech is 95% effective, according to new results. Meantime, life in China pretty much back to normal after strict lockdown. The level of activity has returned. Some people still do wear masks, but stores and restaurants are packed. Housing starts shot up last month. Home builders started construction on more homes than expected in October. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Do you worry too much or not enough about securing your network, website, email, and backing up your data? Hi, this is Mary Beth at JNS Electronic Business Systems. We custom build managed IT solutions, which can include the flexible, resilient cloud services you need. Live worry-free in the cloud so you can focus on what drives the success of your business. It's what we do for you. For service you can rely on, call us or visit us at jselectronics.com.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news.
The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
And welcome back. I got Pat Cohen. He's the superintendent of the Burlington Community School District. And, Pat, we were talking about planning ahead and all the things that have to be going into that. And one of the questions I had for you is that from a standpoint of next year's calendar and also from a standpoint of next year's budget, when do you actually begin that process, or is that process already underway?
That process is already underway. We have the count day. And as I believe we talked last time, there has been a huge enrollment drop across the nation. I think of the classic American novel, Grapes of Wrath. There are people moving all over the country. And Burlington Schools is not insulated from that. We're going to be down about 170 kids, and that's $8,000 a kid. So we're going to have some challenges. The 1% budget guarantee will take care of it. And the other thing I'm unsure of at this time, the legislature and the governor's office may look at this year as an anomaly, and they may do something different than the budget guarantee process, and maybe just do a status quo, stay where you're at, and move into the next year. You know, so as with all things, COVID has upended the apple cart, and school funding is who knows. Now, as far as the school calendar, we'll probably stick with what we have. Now, we did go to a four-day work week, and the four-day work week is Monday through Thursday, and then the teachers work on Friday, and all the PD and collaboration takes time then, and Monday through Thursday are longer days. So we actually increased instructional hours for kids, and we deconflicted all of the PD and so forth, and we actually eliminated a day of all the children coming to school and being exposed to COVID. Now, the thing that we found is, and I'm going to make this very clear, Steve, the school work week is a bargained item, and the Burlington Education Association has very much control over that. But we're hearing that people love the four-day week. They enjoy the Fridays. It's not a rush with professional development. They have their 40 hours in by noon on Friday. But we go to the schools, and there's still teachers in there working Friday afternoon on their own time, which teachers put a lot of time in on their own. But they like being able to be with their fellow fourth grade teachers. They like being with their fellow math teachers. They're finding it very beneficial. But we can't say we're going to do that because that has to go through the collective bargaining agreement.
Are you saving money anyplace, Pat, in the budget because of the fact that you, by not doing online, by doing online?
We are. We do not hardly turn a bus wheel. The amount of diesel that we've not paid for is staggering. We can turn down the heat in the buildings. We spend something like $75,000 a month on subs. There's next to no substitute teachers. So yes, there is money that is saved with online instruction. You know, and one of the things we look at is we're trying to get part of a grant through the Iowa Department of Education to establish a regional online academy. And yes, COVID online, you have to keep people safe. You have to have them pushed out. But at the same time, COVID goes away. Winfield, Mount Union, Waco, New London, Danville, some of these small schools, they struggle with the required offer and teach for like CTE, or they can't do a physics class with three kids and pay a physics teacher. The ratio of students to teacher doesn't work out within the pay scale. So there's reasons to have a regional academy. I believe that the AEA structure across the state of Iowa is such that where AEA, or correction, community college structure, where community colleges are located, there's enough infrastructure to facilitate a regional online academy, which then helps keep taxes local. It doesn't allow the private online people to have free range. It gives an option to families. And then it also helps with a kid who can't be at school because of sickness. It helps with a family that is on vacation. It helps with this and that. So we are trying to, from COVID, establish regional online academies, and Burlington's working with SCC to try to do this now, receive a couple million-dollar grant from the Department of Education, and see if we can't do something. The other side of that coin, Steve, is we would like to make it a pre-K-14 online academy.
Okay. So you basically would do the first 2 years of the 2 years of junior college is what you're saying, right?
Correct.
Now,
that would be an option.
Another question I had for you. You mentioned James Madison. Now, is James Madison also being is that also a child care center as well for parents that cannot stay home with their children?
It is, and what we're doing though is we are actually trying to help with the online instruction. So they do actually, the kids get online, the teachers and associates that are working there help them complete their online work. You know, mom and dad have to go to work. They go to work, they work all day, they can't come home and then do 4 hours of online instruction and make dinner and, you know, all the other things. So we try to get a lot of it done at James Madison. Now, what we're finding, though, is unwittingly, I placed a great yoke upon the staff at James Madison, because you might have kids from all four different elementaries in your classroom, and all four of them are doing something different.
What about,
you see what I mean?
I do see that. What about
that person at James Madison now has to try to help Billy with his, Julie with hers, Johnny with his, and Jane with hers, and they're all different.
Okay, now, the other thing is a lot of kids, a lot of families, very economically struggling, and they need to have, in fact, the school lunches are critical. What are you doing? How are you doing the school lunch program when you're all online?
Yep, we still do the same thing we do during the summer, so they're still distributing food, and they have to come pick it up at various locations, and the high school is one, and then the other one is Grimes.
Okay. Pat, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back with Pat Cohen in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
An advisor, a mentor, a motivator, a teacher. He goes by many names, but most of us call him Coach. Get the scoop from the man himself, as well as answering questions from fans like you. It's all right here on Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz, Wednesday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
The weather is turning cooler, and snow won't be far behind. With the holidays just a few months away, it's time to ask the question, have you figured out your holiday shopping game plan? If not, you're not alone. Avoid the crowds this year and stay healthy. Introducing Shop Early, Shop Safe from the Chamber of Commerce. It's never too early to start your holiday shopping, especially this year. With Shop Early, Shop Safe, Chamber of Commerce members all over Greater Burlington are dedicating their businesses to giving you a safe shopping experience from now throughout the holiday season. Whether you want to get an extra head start and get your gifts in October, or wait to start shopping until the pumpkins are blown out, Chamber of Commerce members are ready to help you have an amazing holiday. Look for Shop Early, Shop Safe location signs all over Greater Burlington for businesses ready to help you avoid the holiday crowds and still give the perfect gift. Brought to you by the Chamber of Commerce, a division of the Greater Burlington Partnership, making connections, building communities.
Ask any farmer planting soybean seed, and they'll probably tell you they buy treated seed. And that's a smart move, because it's been proven that treated soybean seed improves stands and yields. But this year, we just raised the bar. This is Joe Mershman from Mershman Seeds. We've added a biostimulant called Trepidity ST, the next new thing when it comes to seed treatments. Trepidity ST gives you a faster, more uniform stand, improving emergence and allowing each seed to receive the same emergence message and complete cellular food source at the same time. And that means more pods per plant, more yield per acre, and more profit for you.
They'll make it grow.
If you don't have Trepidity ST on your soybeans, you're leaving yield on the table. Become a part of the Mershman family and see the difference in your field. Contact your local Mershman Seeds dealer today, or go to MershmanSeeds.com, and let's grow together at Mershman Seeds, your friend in the field.
November is National Adoption Month. At Four Oaks Family Connections, we teach adults how to become foster and adoptive families. Throughout the process, we teach families about shared parenting and co-parenting with birth families while fostering their children. When children aren't able to be reunited with their family, they are sometimes adopted by their foster family. We celebrate those connections and successes with family adoptions. To get more information about how to become a foster and adoptive family, please go to iowafosterandadoption.org for more information.
We've got got Pat Cohen, our guest, superintendent of the Burlington Community School District. And we talked about youth sports and adult sports. They are on the table, or basically they are canceled for the time being. But what about your high school, sports and your high school sports calendars? Has that been changed, or is there any modifications in that, Pat, right now because of the situation?
There is. The rules of being 100% online is that you cannot have sports while you're 100% online because of the oxymoron mm-hmm. of, you know, it's too sick to be at school, but you can be at sports. So it makes sense. So right now we have, they're not practicing. So now you, the High School Athletic Association and the Girls Union require so many practices before an event. So this being online cancels their practices, which then means you can't have your number of practices before your event. So Athletic Director Jay Huff is, frantically crunching the calendar and crossing off days and shifting stuff to the left and the right and trying to get that done. Now, larger conferences in Des Moines area, the metro and some of the corridors, they have petitioned the High School Athletic Association and the Girls Union to not even start winter sports until after Christmas. And try to get this and then do a shortened season that runs into the spring a little bit. The High School Athletic Association and the Girls Union is not for that. And, understandably, the union and the association both make their money off of ticket sales for the state championships and playoffs. So right now, I believe this weekend, state football championships, each kid gets two tickets. The Unidome is going to be pretty much empty. All those hundreds of thousands of dollars are not going to go into the coffer of the union or the association. Steve, you've been to state wrestling before, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Isn't that just a spectacle? That is one of the top high school events in the nation, in the world. None of that money, can you imagine none of that money coming into their coffers?
Well, we've got the same situation going on throughout the colleges. There's no attendance at any of the Big Ten football games. Iowa will be playing in front of an empty stadium. We saw Iowa play Minnesota, and the only thing they had was a cardboard cutout sitting in the stands. And it makes me wonder, how the heck now are they going to be able to have now? They're supposed to be playing basketball next week, but we don't have any, we still haven't got any scheduling yet. So, I mean, the right. colleges are facing a lot of the same, basically they're facing a lot of the same, and obviously economically they're getting killed right now.
They are.
And
they
how, are. Do you, how do you have a bowl? How do you have a bowl game where you can't invite anybody to come to the bowl?
Well, I know. Now, the one thing that the colleges have that the high schools don't have, the association and the union, the TV contracts. You know, because now more people can't go, more people are going to watch, more people are going to watch, you can sell your advertising higher. You see what I mean?
Gotcha.
So they're going to make money. You know, there's going to be, you know, Iowa State's going to a bowl this year, I guarantee it. There's going to be, you know, 150,000 or more Iowa State fans tuning into that bowl, and Pepsi's going to pay the bowl and the school some money. Now, they're not going to make what they would make with, you know, by having it there. But so who knows? So they're still going to make some money. So is the NFL. And they're still – because for the bowls and the pros, their product is our attention.
Right.
And they're still getting it. And there's, you know, TV and all that good stuff. But there's not going to be – you know, for
not for high school. And what happens?
Not if, for high
and,
school.
And so, if you're still 100% online after Christmas, which certainly seems like it's a very real possibility, if you're 100% online, then you can't start any sports at all. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And is that that's the case? And that would be the case. Is it pretty much the entire state that's under the same situation right now, Pat? As far as you know.
No, there's still people that are hanging out. I mean, there's superintendents where, you know, their county public health is begging them to close down and they're not doing it. You know, and, you know, they look at their daily attendance and it's high. You know, the number of their kids sick is low. You know, now some of them are starting to get to the point with staff where they, again, they can't put a teacher in their classroom, therefore they have to close. But no, there's still people hanging on.
Well, my wife is teaching today, but she will not be teaching tomorrow. She won't be teaching until at least after Thanksgiving, but they're going to 100% learning as well. Pat yeah. Cohen, thank you so much for joining me today. Good luck.
You're welcome, Steve, and have a great great day.
Your news and information leader for over 75 years. News Radio 99.